Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie! Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting from Denver, Colorado. Hey, it's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program today. As usual, you know we got rules of engagement on the program, and they're pretty easy to follow. The first one is if you want to tell me something, you want to ask me something, use the text line on your phone. Just use your message app. And the number to use is 33103. 33103. Keyword, Micro Michael. And then, as always, if you can give me a follow on X, formerly Twitter, at Michael Brown USA, that'd be fantastic. At Michael Brown USA. So I want to start with a simple thesis today, and that is a civic curriculum, a school curriculum. Doesn't make a difference to me whether it's a high school curriculum or a higher education curriculum. But when a curriculum asks students to form judgments about some injustice, then you've got to tell the full story. And in this case, I'm talking about slavery. And I'm talking about slavery because it seems to me that, once again, Jasmine Crockett running for Texas, running for Senate in Texas, and a bunch of other people running for Texas. Joy Reid was on MSNBC this past week talking about how the founding fathers killed off something like, 90% of the indigenous people in the country when they started finding America. And the more I dug into that, I realized, wait a minute, that's not true. We did not kill upwards or approximately 90% of the population of indigenous people when this country was founded. Whether you want to use the date of the Declaration of Independence, 1776, or the date that we signed the Constitution in 1789. So they're already lying to you about, of course, white Europeans. And in this case, and we'll get to slavery in just a moment, but in the case of Joy Reid, she's lying to us about how white Europeans that came here from America settled, and suddenly we were the ones that were somehow destroying all the indigenous people. And I find it offensive, primarily because when you make those kinds of claims, the audience that she is playing to doesn't know any better. Listen to what she says.
So, this nation was founded by killers who slaughtered 90% of the indigenous people, leeches who glommed off of the indigenous who taught them how to survive in the wilderness and then murdered them as their things and then took all their land. And you want to talk about entitlement. They felt entitled to own other people and they didn't even want to pay taxes on it. So they decided to have a whole war with Britain.
So we didn't want to pay any taxes on the people that we own. So we decided to have a war with Britain. Did she ever hear of the Tea Party? Did she ever hear of any of that? But to claim somehow that the country was founded by killers who slaughtered 90% of the indigenous people is just blatantly false. The claim that she makes misapplies a very well-documented, approximately 90% population decline of indigenous peoples across the entire North American continent. But it didn't occur in 1776 or 1789. It occurred primarily between 1492 to around 1600, and it was because of Eurasian diseases like smallpox. Now, of course, there was some violence. Because as these civilizations clash, as they come together, of course there's going to be some violence. But anthropologists refer to this period between 1492 and 1600 as the Great Dying. But that predates the founding of this country in 1789. And it affected the entire hemisphere, not just what is now the United States, where those pre-1492 estimates range from somewhere between 2 and 7 million people. Now, specific estimates for the United States show Native American populations around about 76,000 in 1789. And then that number grew. Now, I want you to think about this. In the middle of territorial expansion, now, of course, I understand there's incomplete census that may have excluded a lot of untaxed tribes or people that we had, tribes that we had not even discovered or run into yet. But the number that anthropologists attribute to so-called indigenous or Native American Indian populations grew from about 76,000 in 1789 to more than 129,000 by 1825. And again, as I said, that's when all this territorial expansion is going on, and you would think those numbers would have decreased. That is, if you believe someone like Joy Reid. And then by the early 1800s, say, 1820 or so, there's no reliable data anywhere that indicates a 90% drop between, say, 1789 or 1820. Declines from violence were significant later, like in the 1830s, because of, say, as an example, the Trail of Tears that killed thousands, but that was again because of traveling from the Carolinas to Indian territory and trying to settle there. But warfare accounted for only about 45,000 deaths between 1789 and 1890. Diseases remained the dominant factor in those ongoing declines through the 1800s. Now, there was displacement, but it was not settlers. It was not white Europeans directly killing some 90% in that specified period. Early censuses in this country omitted most Native Americans, so that does complicate the counts. But again, I emphasize that anthropologists report that there is no evidence that supports that claim's time frame or the mechanism. To put that in perspective, the reason I bring that up is because, again, the thesis is simple. If we're going to teach slavery, then we ought to ask students to form judgments about injustice by hearing the entire story. And in this country, classroom units on slavery usually focus almost exclusively on the transatlantic traffic of Africans to this country. And I do believe that story should be taught. But the same classrooms often give little or no attention whatsoever to the centuries-long enslavement of European Christians by Islamic powers in North Africa, or say the Ottoman realms, or for that matter, the Black Sea steppe. The result is an imbalance, and that imbalance significantly encourages a racialized narrative of victim and oppressor rather than a human narrative of power and predation. And that imbalance is bad for everybody. Why? Because it miseducates black students by presenting a one-track account of bondage. And when you teach young mush-brained kids, particularly black kids or any mush-brained kids, but when you teach them that it was all about bondage, what does that do? That feeds the politics of grievance. And when you are taught and fed and pounded into your head grievance, that leads to societal problems. And at the same time that it does that, it miseducates whites. It miseducates other students by erasing episodes in which their forebears suffered the same brutal fate. All races suffer from slavery. And to teach well, you have to teach completely. You have to teach the entire story. Because the point is not to minimize Atlantic slavery. It is to contextualize it within the global institution of slavery and to make clear that the capacity to enslave was not based on race. The capacity to slave, for human beings to enslave one another, was a human condition. It was not a racial decision. and many people miss that. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Don't forget, text the word MicroMichael to 33103. When we get back, let's begin with a fact that I think might surprise you. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
It feels like every day there's a new tech scam or data breach making headlines. But with Webroot Essentials, you don't have to live in fear. Webroot Essentials is powerful cloud-based antivirus that scans 6 times faster and takes up 33 times less space than brands like Norton and McAfee. With Password Manager and Web Threat Shield built in, Webroot Essentials protects up to 5 devices without slowing you down. Right now, get 60% off Webroot Essentials at webroot.com/save. Stop worrying about what's out there. Live a better digital life with Webroot today.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, 2 group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
This is Colonel Danny Gilliam, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Join the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and the Reading Ballet Theater as they make the holidays come alive with a truly magical performance of the Nutcracker. This beloved holiday tradition will create lasting family memories as our talented local dancers bring this timeless classic to life on the Shasta College stage. Presented by the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and Aaron's Home. The Nutcracker runs December 18th through the 20th at the Shasta College Theater. Get your tickets today at theReadingArtsProject.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Celebrate the holiday season at Reading Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Reading. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
Out of all the races, you know you're the mastermind.
Welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. You know what? We're at a part of the rules of engagement. is I really would appreciate you subscribing to the podcast. So on your podcast app, search for The Situation with Michael Brown, The Situation with Michael Brown. Once you find that, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review because that helps us with the algorithm, and then that will download the weekday program that I do in Denver from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. Plus, it will also download this weekend program, so you get all the Michael Brown radio that there is. So let's go back to the story about how we're teaching slavery in schools. And I said I wanted to give you a fact that I think might surprise many people. Do you know that only about, and I know that the numbers are still significant, but you would think that many people do think that, oh my gosh, it must have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands. But only about 388,000 Africans forced onto ships in the Atlantic trade actually disembarked in North America. Do you know the vast majority of those Africans forced onto those slave ships went to other countries and other continents? So the number is small relative to the total. Yet I know, and I'm not discounting, it's still a moral catastrophe, and it is still wrong. But you would think that every black person that was put on a ship and sent to the United States, that they all came to the colonies, and they all came to North America, and that's just simply not true. The smallness of the number matters, though, when it comes to a curriculum and when it comes to teaching the truth. It shows that the North American story about slavery, while it is vitally important, is just a regional fragment of the total global system of slavery that was going on at that time. And I might just add as a footnote right now, slavery still exists today. And why we don't want to recognize it and why we don't want to call it out is because it is brutal. And today it mostly involves children. And we find that offensive. So we're like, you know, the blind mice. We just cover our eyes, we cover our ears, and we don't want to hear or talk about it. But the fragment, that vast majority that went elsewhere, and the fragment that came here, cannot bear the whole moral weight of that system without some distortion. And a curriculum that treats the fragment as the whole invites confusion about causes, responsibility, and remedies. And that leads many of the race-baiting individuals today to claim that we are the only peoples in the entire world that ever engaged in slavery. And none of this is meant to justify it. It's meant to give you perspective. It's meant to tell you that, you know, slavery was everywhere, and slavery still exists today. But if you browbeat through a public education curriculum that it was only the United States, it was only the Americans, it was only, you know, Europeans, and white Europeans at that, then of course you're going to have people who are going to be absolutely filled with hatred and filled with grievance. And we wonder why people act the way they do today. Because, one, even if they do get an education, the education is not complete. Now I want you to think about the other fragment that is often missing in this curriculum. Starting in the 8th century, Muslims from Algiers, Tunis, Tripoli, and the Moroccan ports, do you know they raided European coasts and seized ships at sea? And what they would do is they would carry off Christians for sale in the North African markets. But we don't talk about that. We don't teach that. And if we're going to teach about slavery, just slavery, then we need to teach the entire story, not just part of it. In the East, the Crimean Tatar Khanate, a vassal of the Ottomans, conducted regular slave raids deep into what's now Ukraine, Poland, and Russia. And they funneled as many as 4 million white slaves into Ottoman centers like into Istanbul. And historians estimate that the Barbary States alone enslaved more than 1 million white Europeans from roughly 1500 to 1800. And then when you add the Black Sea trade under the Tatars and the Ottomans, the cumulative toll runs into the millions more. So this is not some brief episode. It lasted in varying intensity for a millennia, and it peaked in the 17th century. Now, despite majoring in history in college, many people have almost no familiarity with the Barbary Wars, and most people don't even know about it unless you join the Marines and get in the military, or you've got an excellent history teacher, either in high school or in college. The Barbary Wars ended not because the pirates repented, but because European navies and European empires forced that issue of Christian slavery, culminating in the Barbary Wars and the bombardment of Algiers in 1816. So it helps to make the matter vivid. In 1627, raiders from Algiers and Saleh struck as far as Iceland, kidnapping hundreds from villages as far north as the Arctic Circle. And in the mid-1600s, observers described swaths of Mediterranean coastline becoming thinly populated because life on the coast had become perilous. It was dangerous to live on the coast because the Barbary pirates were showing up and snapping people off the beaches, off the coastlines, and then taking them into slavery back into Africa and the Middle East. So, of course, those populations moved inward. Algiers, at times, held tens of thousands of Christian slaves, and they labored in the quarries, the dockyards, and oared the corsair fleets. The pattern in the East, it wasn't easier. Tartar raiding, known as the harvesting of the steppe, repeatedly swept up rural populations, tore apart families. They sold men, women, children downstream into Ottoman markets. These facts do not diminish the horror of the Middle Passage. What they do is it enlarges the moral canvas so that a student that is studying slavery by a teacher who is willing to teach the whole of history can see the human institution of slavery in its entire breadth. And not just part of it. I know a natural objection arises. Was not the Atlantic trade different because it was racialized chattel slavery that was tied to plantations? And the Barbary and the Ottoman slavery was religious or strategic rather than racial, often because of different legal forms and some prospects of ransom or assimilation? Yes, there are differences in legal status, economic use, and ideological justification. Those differences need to be taught in, they do belong in the classroom. They clarify rather than blur. But difference is not the same as not being commensurate. In both systems, whether you're talking about the Barbary or you're talking about the North American trade slave trade, both of those institutions, people were violently captured, uprooted, sold, compelled to labor, all under the threat of punishment or death. And in both systems, countless captives died in bondage. In both systems, entire regions were reshaped by the fear and the fact of raiding. So as I often say on this program, you can hold two thoughts at once, and that would be that the Atlantic system was uniquely large in scale in the early modern Atlantic world, and that the Islamic enslavement of Europeans was protracted and numerically significant across centuries in the Mediterranean and the Black Sea worlds. The hardest sentence in moral education, the hardest sentences are often compound sentences. And we ought to teach students how to diagram and to parse a sentence and how to hold two thoughts at once. Neither one of these two stories are justified, but teaching only one without teaching both is what leads to a distortion and leads today to a complete misunderstanding of where we are with slavery. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
As President Trump cuts the markets free from Washington red tape and job-killing regulations, the stage is set for life-changing stock market gains across defense, healthcare, energy, manufacturing, and more. Yet most Americans are at risk of missing out on the biggest fortunes this transformation could create. To change that, a new financial intelligence initiative, Money and Power, has been launched. The full details are revealed in an exclusive interview now available at insider2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. It's always glad to have you with me. Be sure and follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. And, of course, the text line is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The text line never stops. The number on your message app, 33103. 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. Now, let's go back to this idea that we had two worlds of slavery. We had the North Atlantic slavery, which white Europeans going to Africa, picking up blacks, putting them on the slave ships, bringing them to North America. And then we had that occurring in the Islamic markets in Istanbul and Turkey and those parts of what we now call Eastern Europe. There's another objection, though. This other objection says that raising the history of white slaves in Islamic markets, that somehow when we talk about that, we're trying to minimize the suffering of black Americans. That is not the case that I am making. I do not minimize, I contextualize. Context is not an excuse, it's an orientation, because it gives you a complete picture. If a young mush-brained student is taught only the Atlantic story, they can easily slip into a crude syllogism. Blacks were enslaved in the Americas, therefore slavery is a black phenomenon, and therefore whites are historical oppressors, and blacks are historical victims. And therefore, the present, right now, in America, we should restructure and redress all of these problems. Well, when you think about that, every single step in that chain is simplistic, overly simplistic. A young reader that's taught the broader history is less likely to fall for a reductive politics of grievance and is more inclined to see that slavery has been a human institution that corrupts whomever holds that power, whomever engages in that activity. And if our curricula teach both the Atlantic and the Islamic stories, then the lessons that emerge is not racial resentment. Instead, I believe it will be a sober understanding of how power preys upon the weak unless it's restrained by law and virtue, which, just as a parenthetical, is precisely what the founding fathers in this country were trying to do. So when you hear about, you know, we only counted slaves as part human, that was because the founders knew that they, while they could rip the bandage of slavery off, that that wound would not heal and that the country might never form. And so let's ease into it. It wasn't to dehumanize them. It was to put them on a path so that this country could eventually eliminate slavery. I would just ask you to think out loud for a moment. Do you think anything like that was going on in the Ottoman Empire? Do you think anything like that was going on in Turkey or Istanbul or any of those countries where the Islamic slavery was taking place, where they were enslaving Christians? Of course not. So for someone like Joy Reid to criticize the founding fathers and, oh, we just killed all of these indigenous people and we engaged in the slave trade and it was all about economics, completely ignores and intensifies and reinforces the grievance attitude that many people have today when they have that attitude because they don't have the complete story. The curricular consequences then follow. First, if you had a balanced unit on slavery, it should include an extended treatment of the Barbary Raiding and the Ottoman slave routes alongside the Middle Passage. And that treatment should include the political economy of the Corsair states, the role of the Ottoman slave markets, the Tartar system on the steppe. It should track how captives were procured, how they were used, how ransom worked, how often death or assimilation was the end point, and how European states eventually suppressed the trade by force. If you include that material, that would correct the false inference that European societies were always and only slave traders, when in fact, Muslim societies, you would also, well, let me put it this way. Including that material would correct the false inference that European societies were always and only the slave traders, and that Muslim societies were only victims of European imperialism. But that's what many people believe today, and that's just simply not true. It's so much more nuanced than that, and you have to be able to hold both those thoughts in your mind at the same time. But if they're never taught both the thoughts, they can't hold both thoughts in their mind. if they were taught that and they were able to hold both thoughts in their mind at the same time, it would help students understand how Anglo-American abolitionism sits within a longer story, how that sits within a longer story in which our naval power, our treaties, and our changing norms brought multiple slave systems to an end. You really should, at some point, whether it's your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandkids, I don't care, or maybe just go to the public school and ask to see, because you know you pay the taxes on it, and just say, hey, I'd like to see the history taught in the 10th, 11th, or 12th grade in high school. Or go to a local college and then go to the index and look up slavery and read the sections on slavery. And then come back and tell me whether or not you found a balanced curriculum. Because my guess is 9 times out of 10, you will not. Now, the textbook is one thing and the teacher is another. Because the teacher may have a textbook that doesn't have both points of view, doesn't have both historical contexts, yet does teach both of those. So be careful in making an assumption about how the history is actually being taught. But, quite honestly, most teachers are going to teach from the textbook. And that's why textbooks are so important. But there's another reason, too. A balanced historical unit in a school's curriculum should very carefully compare numbers and timelines without turning some sort of moral education into a perverse scorekeeping of pain. That's not what this is about. The best recent syntheses agree that the Atlantic trade shipped about, as I said earlier, about 388,000 slaves to North America. The Barbary States likely enslaved over 1 million Europeans between 1500 and 1800. In Algiers, that was the largest market. The Black Seas trade into the Tatars plausibly added several million more over 5 centuries. And with new quantitative work suggesting a floor in the mid-single-digit millions, the timelines don't perfectly overlap. Atlantic slavery, as a transoceanic system, lasted probably, I would say, about 3 centuries. Islamic enslavement of Europeans, while episodic, meaning it just occurred occasionally here and there, lasted more than 3 centuries. Islamic enslavement of Europeans endured in some form for closer to a millennium, beginning in the early medieval period and ending in the 19th century. Of course, I would argue that in the 20th and 21st century, slavery still continues, but we turn a blind eye to it. If we gave those contrasts, it would show students something crucial. What is crucial that would be shown to those students? That is that human beings have found many ways to rationalize and to impose slavery, often for very long periods, and sometimes on an industrial scale. So the moral is not that one group owes another group a debt for all time. It is that any group entrusted with unchecked power can be tempted to treat outsiders as property. And thus you would have tyranny, and thus you would have slavery. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line's always open. Number 33103. Keyword Mike or Michael. I'll close this out next.
If you need extra cash this holiday season, WeFixMoney.com could help you get up to $5,000, sometimes the same day. WeFixMoney.com has helped customers get emergency cash for 17 years and is rated A by the Better Business Bureau. If you need money for gifts, bills, childcare, or anything else this holiday season, go to WeFixMoney.com. It's free to use, available 24/7, and you're not required to accept any loan offers. Go to the website you can trust, WeFixMoney.com, WeFixMoney.com.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22-12-642.
Everybody calls us.
Wind River Resort and Casino celebrates the end of the year in style.
Join us Wednesday, December 31st for an unforgettable New Year's Eve bash.
Immerse yourself in a night filled with laughter and excitement, featuring comedian Eric Griffin
and live band The Freshmakers.
Stay for a delicious buffet.
Don't miss out.
Tickets on sale now, including exclusive VIP seats.
Each ticket also includes $10 free slot play.
Must be 21 and over.
For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Ready to grow your business? KCNR is the last locally owned and operated radio station in our area. We reach thousands of listeners in our community every single day. Our professional production team creates custom ads that grab attention and get the results for your business. And you'll be surprised on how affordable advertising with KCNR is. Our listeners are your customers. Call Sue McClain today at 530-605-4565.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Reading. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Reading, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Reading, we invite you to join us. Visit ReadingChamber.com to learn more.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771. Or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings. Unbeatable value just for you.
In the Barbary and the Ottoman systems, European captives were overwhelmingly seized in raids, or they were taken as war captives. There wasn't like a franchise network of European coastal elites selling their neighbors to the North African slave traders. The corsairs themselves stormed ashore, and the Tartars themselves rode in on their horses to take those people. In the Atlantic system, by contrast, European and American traders actually depended upon black African intermediaries to supply the captives at the coastal ports. African politics and raiding confederations, some influenced by prior Islamic slave trading patterns, captured other Africans and sold them to the Atlantic merchants. To say that is not to deny European culpability. It's to teach the honest structure of how the slave trade occurred. You see, students should learn to distinguish between the roles of the collector, the broker, the transporter, the buyer. I know these are human beings, but this is, and it's horrible to say, but I think it helps you understand. This is why they were called chattel. They were just like any other commodity. They were humans treated as commodities. You can't get much more dehumanizing than that. But if that is how in history it occurred, then that's how people need to understand, because you have to understand how people looked upon it at the time. You did have roles of the people that went out and hunted and collected the people to become slaves. You had those hunters, they would turn them over to the brokers, and the brokers would sell them at the ports. And then the people that were going to transport them would pay a fee, or they would get paid a fee to transport them, say, to the United States, and then there they would find a buyer. It's dehumanizing. It's awful. But they should learn that participation in evil can actually occur across many hands, including hands of the same race as the victims. And I think fourth, and probably most important for civic formation and for historical purposes, I think students ought to see how free nations ultimately ended the multiple slave systems. You go read the Marines hymn or listen to it. The United States fought the Barbary pirates in two wars. Britain bombarded Algiers to force the release of the captives, and treaties were imposed against enslaving Europeans. European pressure and later colonization of North Africa shut down the corsair markets. In the Atlantic world, Britain and the United States outlawed the trade in the early 19th century, and then we abolished slavery after a civil war in which we killed 600,000 of our own people. Now, that's not triumphalism. It is instruction. It is fact. And it is history. Free institutions can correct grave injustices. Sometimes they do that by persuasion. Sometimes they do it by force. But teaching that story rightly tends to unite instead of divide. Why is that? Because it emphasizes the shared commitments that cut across race and cut across creed and religions. And that's what occurred in this country. I know that many will worry that adding this content would give license to racists who want to minimize the significance of black suffering. I understand that. But the answer is not to censor. The answer is to teach this with rigor, to make certain that you teach the facts. Because a teacher who says both that 388,000 Africans were landed in North America, and that millions of Europeans were enslaved across centuries in the Islamic world, has not said that slavery in America was trivial. That teacher has said that slavery was universal. And a teacher who says that African politics often supplied captives to European traders, that teacher has not absolved the Europeans of responsibility. That teacher has broadened the map of responsibility, and that enables students to see how evil acts and propagates through incentives. Education cannot inoculate against every abuse of history, but what it can do is it can give students the tools to distinguish between careful comparison and the stupid phrase, whataboutism. A final point concerns civic rhetoric. You know, I think American students are too often told that the labor of enslaved Africans built America. Well, the truth is more specific than that. Enslaved labor contributed significantly to certain regional economies and obviously to certain sectors, especially in the South and especially in the plantation agricultural sector. Now, that contribution was real. but it does not follow that the nation as a whole was built primarily by slave labor or that the nation's moral standing is fatally compromised by that simple fact. This country was built by many kinds of labor, both free and unfree, both immigrant and native born, both black and white, and by many kinds of capital, different ideas, different institutions. So if one insists on reductive slogans, one can produce them for any given region. I think the better course is to retire the slogans and teach the particulars. Because when we do, students of all backgrounds will see both the horror, the absolute horror of Atlantic chattel slavery in this country, and the broader human story of slavery's reach worldwide. And I think that perspective doesn't divide, it equips. The moral and the civil argument for reforming the curriculum, I think, is this. Tell the global truth about slavery and do it with the same granular level that we already devote to the Atlantic trade. Second, make careful comparisons across all the systems and all the different eras, all the millennia, to show what is similar and show what is different. And third, be precise about the numbers and the timelines, but never lose sight of the moral issue. And then fourth, emphasize how lawful power, a small or Republican form of government, how the Anglo-American Navy and military action helped end the enslavement of Europeans as well as Africans, and then ask students to reflect on a sobering constant of human life. That constant, the temptation of the strong to prey upon the weak, and the countervailing power of institutions that bind the strong. That's the kind of curriculum that will help them begin to understand the absolute power of self-governance that we participate in this country. And the whole attitude of grievance will start to dissipate, because now people will have a full and a complete understanding of this subject. Just teach fuller history. Teach complete history, because we gain something precious. Students who know that millions of Europeans were enslaved by Islamic powers and that millions more Africans were enslaved in the Atlantic world, they can now see a more complex moral landscape, and they won't be susceptible to ideologues who want to weaponize partial truths like Joy Reid. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown. As President Trump cuts the markets free from Washington red tape and job-killing regulations, the stage is set for life-changing stock market gains across defense, healthcare, energy, manufacturing, and more. Yet most Americans are at risk of missing out on the biggest fortunes this transformation could create. To change that, a new financial intelligence initiative, Money and Power, has been launched. The full details are revealed in an exclusive interview now available at insider2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Two U.S. service members and one American civilian have been killed and three other people wounded in an ambush by the Islamic State terrorist group in central Syria. That's according to the U.S. Central Command. It said the attack on U.S. troops is the first to inflict casualties since the fall of Syrian President Bashar Assad a year ago. Foreigners who are allowed to come to the United States without a visa could soon be required to submit much more information.
The Trump administration is proposing a plan that would require foreigners to provide information about their social media, email accounts, and extensive family history to the Department of Homeland Security before being approved for travel. The announcement refers to travelers from more than three dozen countries who take part in the visa waiver program, and it's part of the president's stepped-up monitoring of international travelers and immigrants. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Republican strategist Aaron McGuire says the economy is a top concern for voters and needs to be for Republicans if they're serious about winning in next year's midterm elections.
It's up to Republicans now to make sure that they are not losing that steam when it comes to delivering. It means talking about no tax on tips. It means talking about no tax on Social Security and overtime. It means talking about the economic engine that's being produced, because no longer are the American people buying that this is Joe Biden's economy or Democrats' fault. They're going to blame the party in power.
McGuire was interviewed on the Salem Radio Network. Getting trapped in quicksand is the stuff of old movies and TV, but it happened in real life this week in Utah's Arches National Park. Grand County first responder John Marshall helped out with the recovery.
We laid the ladder down, brought out the traction boards, were able to lay those down, and then we had a firm platform in which we could work from.
And the experienced hiker was safely recovered. More from townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
Education Secretary Linda McMahon says President Trump is attacking a failing American education system head on.
This is not acceptable. We cannot be seen not only what we see across the country, but also where we fall on international rankings.
Today is Wreaths Across America Day. Military Affairs Analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis.
What this does is to remind all Americans that freedom is purchased by the sacrifice of ordinary citizens who've been willing to answer the call. And of course, today we have a volunteer force, and we depend upon them to do the hard work of defending our interests here at home and abroad.
Donated green Christmas wreaths with distinctive red bows are set at gravesites by both family members and volunteers. You'll find breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Ford is introducing new technology aimed at outsmarting vehicle thieves.
The automaker has introduced a feature in its popular F-150 pickups that prevent them from starting even if key fobs are present. Owners can use Ford's Start Inhibit to disable their F-150's engine from a smartphone. The pickup was in the top 10 of most stolen models over the first half of the year. Ford Secure General Manager Christian Moran says there are a lot of F-150s on the road, and thieves like those pickups. Rich Thomason reporting.
Days of torrential rain in Washington state have caused historic flooding, stranding families on their rooftops, in some cases washing water over bridges. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson says they do feel very fortunate there have been no fatalities reported, and in many areas, the water is beginning to recede. You'll find more on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
These vulnerable groups that can't take care of themselves from hate or to prevent social discord. The argument is understandable. I mean, there's a lot of social discord, and I understand that hate is in of itself bad, but we have to learn that what we do to counter hate is more speech. Trying to control the hate speech is not going to control the hate. That's what exists in a person's heart, and you're not going to change that. Speech can wound. Speech can hurt. But speech can also be an antidote. Speech can also be an anesthetic. And speech can counter those things that hurt. Yet constitutional democracies, constitutional republics, are premised on the idea that political leaders have got to learn to tolerate really sharp criticism. Why? Because politicians possess a coercive power that ordinary citizens don't possess. And Germany has inverted that logic by enhancing something that's called Section 188. That section increases penalties for insulting public officials. Can you imagine? Think about me insulting a public official. If we had a Section 188 in our code that said, you know, if you offend an elected official, well, we can come and arrest you and or give you a ticket, a summons of some sort, and then we can hold you accountable for that by imposing a fine or something. Be crazy. I wouldn't be here today. You know, a puzzled listener, you might ask, well, how does a republic or a democracy like Germany benefit when the leaders of those countries enjoy more legal protection from criticism than the voters that they're supposed to serve? The simple answer is that it does not. So the chancellor's decision to rely on a private enforcement firm called So Done exposes this inversion that I'm talking about. The firms scoured the internet for any kind of possible insult that they could find. And then they forwarded those cases to the prosecutors, and in turn they collected 50% of the damages. It's almost like the express lanes. If you have express lanes, I know LA has these. I know that some places in DC have them. We have them in Colorado. They're built by tax dollars, but then all of the rules are enforced by a private company. And that private company scours, you know, has the cameras up, and they catch your license plate, and you cross the line at the wrong time or whatever, and then they send you a fine, and oh, you can ignore the fine, and you might want to argue, and I would argue, you have no authority to enforce that fine. Yet what's happened in Colorado is they've given this private organization the power to enforce the fines by withholding registration. So I can't go register my car when that renewal comes up at the end of the year or whenever it might come up for renewal. That's kind of what's going on here. They're scouring for possible insults. They forward those cases to the public prosecutors, and then they get 50% of the damages or the fines that the prosecutor collects. So a politician that delegates the task of monitoring public rhetoric to what's no better than a bounty-like operation, that alone demonstrates that Europe's speech laws do more than protect. They incentivize enforcement. Imagine a road that widens every time a driver brushes the curb. Well, eventually the curb's going to disappear, right? Over time, it's going to just start to crumble and crumble and crumble, and pretty soon that concrete curb has disappeared. Well, I think something similar has happened to the boundary between what's considered critical speech and criminal speech. And when the state, private firms, and political actors all kind of align in a straight line, the definition of punishable speech starts to expand. And then what happens? Well, in Germany, police raids following minor insults make this pretty clear. In several chancellor-related cases, prosecutors authorize home searches and device searches for comments that fall well within the rough and tumble of just the normal political debate. And critics ask, wait a minute, what public interest is served by sending law enforcement officers to confiscate the phone of a disabled woman who called a politician a little Nazi? Now, even if the comment was rude, the escalation of force is difficult to square with liberal, in the traditional sense of the word liberal, the norms of a liberal democracy, a liberal republic. So you might wonder whether prosecutors genuinely believed that those actions were necessary. Well, the more plausible thinking about this is that speech laws furnish a legal pathway for punitive investigations. And just like everything else, once Congress, or in this case, the German parliament, once they create a path, and once someone sees that a path exists, somebody's going to walk it. When I was working for the Oklahoma Senate back in my days as a baby lawyer down in Oklahoma, the Secretary of Transportation in Oklahoma told me one time, you can build a road anywhere. doesn't make any difference. Just if it just goes from point A to point B, eventually that road will get filled with cars because people will discover, oh, that's a path I can take to get from point A to point B that's different than the path I normally take, and right now it's not very crowded, and then boom, over time, everybody's using that road. And I think that same analogy applies here. Berlin prosecutors went further. What did they do? They labeled vulgar humor as extremism. Really? Vulgar humor is extremist? Let's see how that works out. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
It feels like every day there's a new tech scam or data breach making headlines. But with Webroot Essentials, you don't have to live in fear. Webroot Essentials is powerful cloud-based antivirus that scans 6 times faster and takes up 33 times less space than brands like Norton and McAfee. With Password Manager and Web Threat Shield built in, Webroot Essentials protects up to 5 devices without slowing you down. Right now, get 60% off Webroot Essentials at webroot.com/save. Stop worrying about what's out there. Live a better digital life with Webroot today.
The groundbreaking podcast Bone Valley uncovers startling new evidence that could solve a crime committed in 1987 and free a man who was unjustly convicted. Join Pulitzer Prize-winning author Gilbert King for an exploration of one of Central Florida's most shocking mysteries.
In the whole drive down, I can't shake what Judge Cupp keeps telling me about Leo Schofield.
This guy is innocent. God help us if we can't get this right.
Listen to Bone Valley wherever you get your podcasts.
What if one day you woke up to the news that everything you knew about your best friend was totally wrong?
My best friend is an Irish heiress, but it turns out Mayor Smith is not who she appears to be.
Like, really wrong. Awfully, catastrophically, and terribly wrong.
My best friend is an international con artist who scams me and many others out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And police are hunting for her from Los Angeles to Belfast.
On the podcast Queen of the Con, Jonathan Walton tells the story of the many shocking crimes of a phony Irish heiress and his journey to help finally bring her to justice.
She seemed so nice when we first met, so kind, so sweet, but she's the devil. I know that now. I regret ever meeting her. We all do.
Listen to Queen of the Con wherever you get your podcasts.
Bridgewater, the hit fiction podcast, is back. A supernatural thriller presented in immersive 3D binaural audio.
The Bridgewater Triangle.
There is some kind of mystical force in this region that attracts monsters and paranormal activity.
There's something beyond our understanding going on here.
Starring Supernatural's Misha Collins, The Walking Dead's Melissa Ponzio, and Rogue One's Alan Tudyk. Written by Lauren Shippen and created by me, Aaron Mankey. Listen to Bridgewater wherever you get your podcasts.
The Real Time Crime Podcast isn't just for the true fans of true crime. It's for people who have an obsession.
Why do I obsess over true crime? It's because I need to know every detail of every single story, because they say that the devil's in the details. So we're going to find out who's the devil here.
Join Leah Lamar and Teddy Mellencamp for an iHeartRadio original podcast dedicated to the passion of every armchair detective.
I will go down any rabbit hole and dig down any crime, because I will do your dirty work on any topic involving any bad guy.
Embark on a quest to unravel unsolved mysteries and delve into current criminal trials in real time. Each week, Lamar and Mellencamp are joined by investigative professionals who will reveal the inner workings of crime solving and criminal justice.
And we are all obsessed with this case, right?
Beyond obsessed with
this case.
Beyond
obsessed.
Listen to Real Time Crime wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, text lines always open. Whether you're listening, you know, delayed or on a podcast, I read the text all the time. At text line 33103, keyword Micro Michael. Do me a favor on your podcast app. Be sure to subscribe to The Situation with Michael Brown. And when you hit that, look on your podcast app, search for The Situation with Michael Brown, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review, and then here's what will happen. It will download all 5 days of the weekday program that I do from Denver, plus the weekend program, so you'll get 6 days of Michael Brown. Back to Germany. These laws that are being acted by the German parliament, and they're being taken advantage of by the German chancellor, I think are a serious case of extremism being taken, or the fear of extremism being taken to an nth degree that really violates the natural right, the natural law that you and I have to speak our minds, and certainly as we do in this country, maybe not so much in Germany anymore, but at least in this country, we still have the right to criticize the people that we elect to public office. And if your skin's not tough enough to deal with the fact that we criticize you in public office, then maybe you shouldn't be in public office. Berlin prosecutors, as I said earlier, went further with this Section 188, and they labeled some vulgar humor as extremism. And I think that is a very conceptual pivot point, because extremism is obviously a very serious category in German law because of their heritage and their history with the Nazis. But this law justifies expanded surveillance and really stiff penalties, so that if irreverent political mockery can be classified as extremism, then the boundary that used to exist between dangerous ideology and everyday satire, those boundaries begin to blur. And a legal system that admits such elasticity is going to invite political actors to use that elasticity strategically. It goes back to the example that if you build a path and that path has a curb on it and people keep pushing the curb, they keep bumping up against the curb all the time, pretty soon the curb is going to disappear and you've broadened and you have widened that pathway. So a legal system that admits that elasticity is just going to invite the political actors who are thin-skinned to use it strategically. And the danger is not that the chancellor is going to act alone aggressively, but that the system that they put in place encourages aggressive use by anybody that finds the criticism inconvenient. So Germany's network of state-aligned reporting centers that and strengthens that concern. Hubs like one of their TV channels, Hinsen Guggenhetz, I'm sure I mispronounced that. That channel, tens of thousands of online comments into the police pipelines. So it'd be like if you're on X, you know, I ask you to follow me on X, formerly Twitter. It would be as if Twitter takes, or X, takes an algorithm, and anything that they in the algorithm deem to be extremist, they just automatically feed that into the computer systems in the police stations. And so it really becomes very easy to monitor what an algorithm has determined to be extremism. And then a law enforcement officer can look at that and say, yeah, we agree it's extremism too. Or they can just be lazy and not really just say, oh, they sent it to us, so it must be extremism. Well, all of these centers that they now have around the country are presented to the German citizens as community tools for promoting civility. But what's their effect? Their effect is to erase the transition between speech and investigation. So a citizen might believe that she is, you know, notifying a moderator about something that she found offensive, when in fact what she's really doing is launching a prosecutorial inquiry. She's launching an investigation simply by saying to the, you know, say to X, hey, I found this offensive. That gets tunneled, channeled right into the law enforcement agency. The process becomes so streamlined that political figures don't even have to file complaints at all. They just sit back and the system takes over. And, you know, I criticize, you know, a politician in Germany The politician may never even hear the criticism. They may never even read the criticism. It gets fed into law enforcement, and law enforcement automatically channels that into a prosecution complaint. And the next thing you know, there's been a warrant arrested or a summons issued for my arrest or a fine issued because I did something that they found offensive. That system would make George Orwell proud. It would make, 1984 seem like, oh, that's just play stuff. The process becomes so streamlined that politicians don't even pay attention to it because the system itself monitors, collects, and delivers all these possible violations. In that kind of environment, the line between community moderation, say on X, and what I would call state surveillance, I don't know that there's a difference. I think it becomes one and the same. And even some legal scholars are starting to recognize this, and they've begun to register alarm. One legal scholar in Germany, among many, notes that this system is producing disproportionate reactions to protected and even marginally unlawful speech. And this one legal expert argues that the enhanced protections for politicians violates a constitutional principle that those who wield the power must be able to endure more criticism, not less criticism. And I think that point is simple, but it's profound. If laws, or if a law, subtly shifts public life so that ordinary citizens face police intervention for political satire or political mockery, while the elected leaders are shielded from that ridicule, in other words, they never face it because all of that's going on in the background, then the democratic orientation of that system has invariably changed, and changed for the worse. Citizens internalize these signals. And what happens next? Suddenly, you become afraid to say anything. And when you become afraid to say anything, what's the natural reaction? I say that self-censorship becomes the rational action that people will engage in. I don't want to pay a fine of X number of German marks, or X number of U.S. dollars, or X number of British pounds. So if I don't, even if I think that I'm just posting something on X, and I keep using X as an example, but it could be anything in Germany. If I just keep posting something to social media because I really am pissed off at some particular politician, and that politician never hears it, sees it, reads it, or even knows about it, yet the system flags it as being somehow a violation of Section 188 of this German law about hate speech, and then that automatically triggers an investigation, and that investigation automatically triggers a summons or automatically sends it to a court, and I'm summoned, and I have to pay the fine, that's like violating the express lane. You didn't even know you were doing it. I got a ticket in L.A. one time for violating an express lane that I didn't even know I was in. And I called the company. I said, hey, listen, I was in a rental car. I didn't know where I was. It was rush hour. I was trying to get to LAX so I wouldn't miss a flight. And fortunately, I had somebody that was kind of friendly, and they said, oh, don't worry about it. Well, the first time, we'll let you go. You think they'd do that in Germany? I hardly doubt. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
It feels like every day there's a new tech scam or data breach making headlines. But with Webroot Essentials, you don't have to live in fear. Webroot Essentials is powerful cloud-based antivirus that scans 6 times faster and takes up 33 times less space than brands like Norton and McAfee. With Password Manager and Web Threat Shield built in, Webroot Essentials protects up to 5 devices without slowing you down. Right now, get 60% off Webroot Essentials at webroot.com/save. Stop worrying about what's out there. Live a better digital life with Webroot today.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac...
The only forecast I care about... is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards, all while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadra at the Holiday Market Shopping Center, in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from the Round Table Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the Friendly Oil Change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Your friendly old change. Premier, your friendly old change.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holiday special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. Check out our website at northvalleydistributing.com.
Workers' compensation cases can move really slowly, and it's frustrating. Don't get pressured into hiring the first law firm you meet with just because they were fast to get you on their schedule. Your case impacts every aspect of your life. You want a local attorney that understands that and will get you the best outcome. Interview Patrick Orman of Gorman Law to see if he is the right attorney and to see if you really need an attorney. He will tell you the truth. Call 530-262-2168 or schedule online at Gorman Comp Law. Consultations and workers' comp are always free.
Whispered tones. You know, I think the chancellor is crazy because he did X, Y, Z. Or I think this particular representative was crazy. Or the senator is crazy because they did X, Y, Z. And suddenly, everything goes underground. And there's no public discourse anymore. The vanishingly small number of convictions that has come out of this whole complaint system clarifies the purpose of the machinery. Most of the cases that I've been talking about here in Germany, most of those cases were actually dismissed because the courts found that several raids were actually unconstitutional. Yet, the investigation still happened. Phones were still seized. Homes were still searched. And so the distinction between conviction and investigation becomes blurred. And I think there's a huge distinction between an investigation and a conviction. At least in this country, we call it due process. And we say that, oh, if you're going to investigate, before you can even start that, you have to have probable cause. And if you think you have probable cause, then you have to investigate. I have to know who my accusers are. I have the right to face my accusers, and I have the right to challenge them in court. But again, like a traffic ticket. Oh, yeah. Well, officer, what'd you stop me for? Well, because you were doing 85 in a 65-mile-an-hour zone. Yeah, well, I'm going to challenge you in court. What difference does it make? They've got you on radar. What are you going to do, challenge the radar? The distinction between conviction and investigation, in my opinion, matters deeply. Because if the aim is justice, then we would expect that in the case of Germany, there would have been a lot of convictions. But as I said, there were a very small number of convictions. And if the aim is to deter these criticisms, the process itself is the penalty. You have to endure the investigation. You have to endure that your phones and your computers have been seized and they've been taken away by law enforcement. And so you either have to go buy a new phone or you have to do without until you get your phone back, or they now have access to everything that's on your computer. That's the conviction. That's the punishment. They don't really care if you ever pay a fine or not. They have intimidated you and kept you from speaking your mind. Mission accomplished. This is what students of soft authoritarianism observe about what's going on in Germany. Because the state doesn't really need to imprison or actually fine the dissenters. It needs to only convince citizens that criticizing the powerful is going to put them in legal peril. Or they're going to endure all of the process. And the process itself becomes the punishment. Now, I know I've talked a lot about Germany. This is not confined to Germany. France often prosecutes political speech under their broad hate speech laws. They'll target critics of, say, immigration policy. Ireland is actually considering legislation that would criminalize just the possession of hateful material, a concept so expansive that satire or private messaging between individuals, even though they're encrypted, might fall within that sweep. Spain has used sedition and extremism statutes to contain separatist sentiment and to police right-leaning criticism. Brussels, Belgium, they pressure large platforms under the Digital Services Act to remove what they claim to be harmful content. They just make their own independent, oh, we think this is hateful, so you got to take it down. And the fines are so devastating, so companies comply even if the legal basis is ambiguous. But the message is clear. They absolutely deliver a clear message. The boundaries of permissible speech are determined not by open debate, but by the bureaucrats, by the system, by the process. To perceive the system as a whole, imagine a very wide net cast over just all public discourse. The mesh in that net is very, very fine. Oh, it'll catch some minor insults. It might check, you know, and catch some off-color caustic jokes. It might even catch a few ideological challenges here and there. And even emotional reactions to political events might get caught. Oh, you were mad about what was said at this rally that was said by the chancellor or by the prime minister or somebody? Go back to the 4,999 complaints that Chancellor Merz filed in Germany. Those complaints reveal how easily a determined actor can pull that net really tight. The underlying structure is what matters. A system that enables the state to search homes over trivial rhetoric? That's a system that mistakes disagreement for danger. The EU's political class has learned to defend that mechanism by invoking, well, we got to do it so we'll have social cohesion, so we'll have democratic stability. And, of course, as always, we're going to protect minorities. Don't get me wrong, those are noble aims. But if you're an objective listener, you should be asking whether coercion is the appropriate means to obtain social cohesion or democratic stability or the protection of minorities. History teaches us that speech restrictions seldom remain proportionate. Just like any other government program, they expand. And why do they expand? They expand because those in power seldom seek to restrict themselves. They want their power to grow larger and larger and larger. So to strengthen the argument that Chancellor Merz and these other European leaders use anti-speech laws to silence dissent, then I want to focus for a minute on incentives, because the political actors respond to incentives exactly as, you know, a company responds to the marketplace. When laws grant officials special protection from ridicule and then furnish a really easy enforcement pathway, those government officials are going to use those pathways. When bureaucracies streamline reporting and prosecution, enforcement just becomes routine rather than exceptional. And when courts rarely convict but often authorize the searches, that's the chilling effect, and that chilling effect grows. None of this requires malice. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be mean-spirited about it. No malice. I'm just, you know, just like a good Nazi, I'm just following the structure. I'm just following the laws itself. And I think that presents a deeper worry, and that is that Europe has built a legal environment in which the courage to criticize political leaders is treated as a risk instead of a virtue. Imagine that in this country. That's the erasure. That is the destruction of Western civilization that is taking place in Europe right now. I don't want that coming here. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line, as usual, always open, 33103, keyword Micro Michael. Go follow me on X, you know, before they start, you know, finding us for that. It's at Michael Brown USA. I'll be right back.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
As President Trump cuts the markets free from Washington red tape and job-killing regulations, the stage is set for life-changing stock market gains across defense, healthcare, energy, manufacturing, and more. Yet most Americans are at risk of missing out on the biggest fortunes this transformation could create. To change that, a new financial intelligence initiative, Money and Power, has been launched. The full details are revealed in an exclusive interview now available at insider2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales events. Redding Kia is celebrating the season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Redding Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Redding Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at reddingkia.com. Join the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and the Reading Ballet Theater as they make the holidays come alive with a truly magical performance of the Nutcracker. This beloved holiday tradition will create lasting family memories as our talented local dancers bring this timeless classic to life on the Shasta College stage. Presented by the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and Aaron's Home, the Nutcracker runs December 18th through the 20th at the Shasta College Theater. Get your tickets today at thereadingartsproject.com.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Reading. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Reading, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Reading, we invite you to join us. Visit ReadingChamber.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Yes. Out. Better not cry, better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Hope everybody, you know, is everybody getting in the Christmas spirit? I'm not sure that this story is going to get people in the Christmas spirit, but that's at least what I'm trying to do, is just remind you that, you know, as we go about and we get into that season where we start to, you know, celebrate with family and friends and we're all in a happy mood and everything, I'm like the Grinch that stole Christmas. And I'm just reminding you that while we're happy and dumb, fat, and happy here in this country right now, on the other side of the pond, they're actually destroying Western civilization. And they're doing it based on political correctness. George Orwell would be proud. 1984 is coming true. It's just, you know, we're a couple of decades later, but it really is coming true. I think the deepest worry about Europe for me is that they have built this legal environment in which the courage to criticize political leaders, as I said in the last segment, is treated as a risk, not a virtue. In this country, we actually recognize that our ability to criticize our elected officials is a civic virtue. That we actually, if we sincerely believe that Senator X, Congressman Y, Governor B, whoever it might be, that if they're doing something that we don't think is in our best interest, in the economy's best interest, in the country's best interest, not only should we criticize them, but it is our public duty to criticize them. And I think it's a duty of those elected officials as caustic. Now, I never encourage people to be caustic or to be rude or demeaning or anything else when they criticize, particularly face-to-face, when they criticize our political leaders. But I do encourage people to challenge them because they wanted the job. They're the ones that signed their name on the petition to get on the ballot or raise the money, got the votes. They went through a primary, if there was a primary. They went through a general election. They got more votes than the other person. They got elected because they thought they had good ideas and they wanted to represent. And when they ran, they may have run on a platform that represented one party more than another party. But once they got elected, they're supposed to, idealistically anyway, represent their entire constituency, whether that be a U.S. senator in a state, a governor in a state, a congressman in a district, or even a city councilman in a ward or something. They're to represent everyone. So part of our job is to tell them what we think about the job they're doing or what we need, and their job is to listen and to take that into consideration, not to try to prevent us from criticizing them. That's why I argue so vehemently that what they're doing in Europe is treating criticism as a risk rather than a virtue. That's why citizens learn to avoid provocative statements. Artists, satirists, they'll temper their language. Journalists will tread carefully. Now, in this country, we have a somewhat similar problem, but an entirely different problem, too. Part of the problem with the cabal in this country is that oftentimes the journalists simply act as stenographers for their particular ideological point of view, when what they really should be doing is just reporting to us on the facts about what elected officials are doing. But in Europe, journalists learn to tread carefully, toe the line, even if they are of the opposite party or they have different beliefs. Oh, be very, very careful in how you treat that. That filters then into the news that gets consumed by the citizens of Germany, France, Belgium, or whomever it may be. And suddenly they're starting to be persuaded. You see how this is such, it's like a disease. And it just takes hold and you can't let go of it. Speech becomes managed speech and not free speech. Now, this is not totalitarianism in a brutal sense, but it is a form of totalitarianism in the sense that it is a form of control that relies on the law, it relies on the bureaucracy, and it relies on the discomfort of being investigated. I don't know whether you've ever been investigated, but back when I practiced law, I've represented a lot of clients who had to appear before a grand jury or who are being investigated or part of even a civil lawsuit where they have to attend a deposition, answer interrogatories. They get grilled by the other side. The process itself is grueling. It takes time, energy, and resources. And so oftentimes when clients would come to me and say, I was wronged by so-and-so and I want to go sue them. I first calm them down and explain to them, I think you're right. I think you were wronged and I think you do have a lawsuit here. However, it's going to cost you. Here are what my fees are. So that's going to be painful. Two, there's not just one side. I may believe and you may believe and we may even be able to prove that you were wronged, but the other side is going to believe that they were right. And so they're going to dig into everything about you, your business, your past. They're paying legal fees too. They're fighting everything. Everything that we do, they're doing. It's madness, mutually assured destruction. Do you really want to go through that? And if the answer is still yes, then I'd say, okay, then what, I'll take the case. That's what I mean about here, where they rely on the law, the bureaucracy, and just the discomfort of being investigated. That is the punishment. And the chancellor's conduct is really meaningful here because it demonstrates how a modern politician can take a system like this, and whether it's for evil purposes or they really think they're doing something right, they can navigate and they can exploit that system to their own advantage. If you're skeptical of all of this, you might ask whether the solution is complete deregulation of speech. Well, that's not the argument that I'm trying to make here. The claim is this, that Europe's current trajectory privileges the power and it disciplines the powerless. So by enhancing the protections for the politicians and expanding the definition of extremism, and then on top of that, erecting bureaucratic reporting channels, the system undermines the foundational democratic principle that citizens have a right and a responsibility to criticize those that we elect. A democracy, a republic, can only endure rude comments, or can endure rude comments. It cannot endure a culture of fear around political expression or fear of being investigated. The whole Chancellor Merz episode really should prompt some reflection across the entire continent. And I think it should cause us to reflect here about hate speech, about extremism, about what we determine is hateful or not hateful, and whether we really want to criminalize that or not. Because if a prominent public figure can marshal the law enforcement resources against thousands of critics with very little scrutiny, then that kind of system is not protecting democratic principles. It is protecting the ruling political class. It is protecting the cabal. A legal framework that encourages self-censorship, that's a framework that weakens public deliberation. And then the long-term consequences is a body politic in which important questions get left unasked because the cost of asking becomes too high. Europe's defenders argue that these laws promote civility, social peace. Critics reply, civility cannot be enforced or commanded by cops, and that social peace cannot rest on silence. I think the truth lies in understanding trade-offs. And those 4,999 complaints illuminate the trade-offs. It shows a system that has drifted from its liberal foundations toward a model that makes dissent a liability. The danger is not hypothetical. It's actually visible. If you read about the raids, the seizures, and the prosecutorial zeal in Germany, you'll see that that danger is very real, which means that Europe has reached a moment where when the structure of its speech regime deserves really careful scrutiny. Our task maybe is not to condemn it, but to insist that political leaders accept the scrutiny that a democratic office entails. We need to understand this, that what is happening there could happen here. And what I'm trying to do is just sound the alarm that look across the pond, look toward the east and see what's happening in Europe, and then think about what's happening in this country, where you start with, oh, you can't say that because that's going to offend somebody. Well, sucks to be you if you get offended. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line's always open, 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. I'll be right back.
As President Trump cuts the markets free from Washington red tape and job-killing regulations, the stage is set for life-changing stock market gains across defense, healthcare, energy, manufacturing, and more. Yet most Americans are at risk of missing out on the biggest fortunes this transformation could create. To change that, a new financial intelligence initiative, Money and Power, has been launched. The full details are revealed in an exclusive interview now available at insider2025.com. Paid for by Paradigm Press.
If you're stuck in a timeshare you no longer want, call the experts at Lone Star Transfer. They will help you with a guaranteed solution to exit your timeshare. For the past 15 years, Lone Star Transfer, a family-owned company, has helped over 30,000 owners break free. With an A-plus rating at the BBB and thousands of five-star reviews, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you can trust to deliver real results. For a free consultation, call 844-284-4739 or visit LoneStarTransfer.com.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac?
The only forecast I care about is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. All while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Shopping Center in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from the Roundtable Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the Friendly Oil Change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.